That better? Yes, that's better. Thank you, Brock. Good evening. I'm glad you're here again. It's great to see all of you back. And tonight, I appreciate that first song, Yusuf, by the way. On the way home, Paula goes, you know, there's a song I want you to do, that same thing you did this morning too. And it was that song. So that was kind of neat. So anyway, sometime in the future, that song's coming up. So we're going to do the same thing tonight we did this morning. Only we're going to do it with a Bible verse. That Bible verse that was just up there. Brock, would you mind putting that back up there? Yeah, thank you. Let's leave it up there, and I'm just going to work there. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at this verse. And as we look at this verse, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is my approval rating? Fair enough? What is my approval rating? As we think about this verse in 2 Timothy 2:15, the King James says, ESV probably. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. We all know what that word is, study. And most versions actually do a little bit better job by saying, do your best. Because that's really a little bit closer to what it says. Study to show yourself approved. Do your best to show yourself approved. And so tonight, that's what we want to look at, is break this verse down into various parts and just see what it is exactly that Paul is trying to say to us. So, study, we know what that is. Do your best, which is what this version says, do your best to present yourselves approved unto God. You know, that should be our aim every single day we wake up, is to do our best to show ourselves approved unto God. That should be our focus. When we get out of bed, that is our focus. When we go to work or we go to school, that's our focus, to do our best to show ourselves approved unto God. You know what? It's really hard to sin when you're focused on doing that. It becomes much easier to sin when you start moving your focus away from that and maybe more towards yourself. Then sin can creep in a lot more easily. So in the King James, this word show, study, do your best to show. That is really a military term. And if you've seen the Army movies, and you've got the little squad out there, and the sergeant says, present arms. That's this word. That's this word. Present arms. Present yourself to your superior officer. So the soldier, he takes his weapon, he takes his rifle, and he takes it apart. You know, I think of Robert Vaughn when I'm talking about this. But he takes his weapon, and he strips it apart, and he it's all nice and oiled and lubricated very well, and it's all put back together, and you don't shoot yourself with it. You have it ready for inspection. So when that, you know it's coming. You know there's an inspection coming. And so you're ready. You're ready to present your weapon for scrutiny, for a very close look. That's exactly what we do here with ourselves. With ourselves. Not a rifle. You and me. Do our best to present ourselves approved unto God. That word approved means accepted. And we could think of it like this, as we think about presenting ourselves to God, it's we want His seal of approval. We want to be acceptable. We want to be found acceptable to Him after close scrutiny and examination and testing. So here's what He's saying. I want you to do your best to present yourself, lay yourself out there for inspection, but do it with an expectation that you will be approved by the inspector. That's what he wants. That's what he's asking us to do. So we should seek this from God. Look back at verse 4. He says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Well, so see, this whole thing is kind of military. But he's saying we need to be concerned about pleasing the one who enlisted us. Who enlisted you? God did. Jesus did. He is the one who enlisted us. So that's who we need to be focused on. That needs to be the person that we try to seek his approval. There's so much approval seeking, though, as you think about, just think about yourself sometimes. I know I do it. I know we all do it. We seek approval, you know, from so many different places, from others. And we sometimes lose sight of who it is that we're supposed to be presenting ourselves to for approval, the one that really matters. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. Paul writes, he says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. In other words, it's dangerous to begin to compare ourselves with each other or with other people when it comes to what we're talking about here. We don't need to be doing that. We need to be seeking God's approval. That's like a soldier who knows the inspection is coming. And instead of doing what he needs to do to make sure his rifle is ready for that inspection, instead of doing that, he starts looking around at the other guys in his platoon. And he starts saying, well, let's see, Andy over there, you know, he does a pretty good job of breaking his gun down, but man, he does a horrible job of lubricating it and making it, you know, and John over there, you know, he does a good job of taking it apart, but man, he's terrible at putting it back together. And he starts looking around at all the other people and how they present themselves, their arms, their work. And you know, when we start doing that, it's dangerous. Because we got the whole wrong mindset going on there. It's not about trying to please the inspector. It's about just being better than the other guys. That doesn't accomplish what this is trying to get us to accomplish here. Present yourself acceptable to God. And I know sometimes we do that. Drop down to verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For it is not in the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. And you know, sometimes we do that too. I think sometimes we get to feeling pretty good about ourselves. And we start, you know, we look in the mirror and we go, you know, Jim, you're better than, you know, you do better than Mike, you do better than Floyd, you do better than, you know, you do better than Robert, you do better than Royce, you do better, you know, you're doing pretty good, man. You are to be commended. And we do that to ourselves. Here he says, no. It's not good when you commend yourself. It's really only works when the Lord commends you. We want to present ourselves approved by God. That needs to be our focus. So we have a new year. We have a new year starting in about 3 weeks. And I thought, let's make it our goal to try to do this every day. We wake up and our focus is trying to present ourselves approved unto God. How do you do it? Okay, let's just get practical for a minute. How do you do it? I put down there's three things that are going to help us, and I just tried to be funny here, but with an R. I just did R's, okay? Righteous diligence, responsible doing, and rightly dividing. Okay, so we'll break them all down real quick. In the King James, this verse starts off with study. Other versions, as you've seen, says, do your best. Again, we know what those things mean, but the real Greek word here really means to be diligent, to get after it, to just throw yourself into it, hasten, give it everything you've got. In other words, don't do things half-heartedly. Don't do that half-heartedly. Throw your whole self into it. That's what he's trying to say. In chapter 4, verse 9, here in this text, Paul tells Timothy to be diligent to come to me quickly. That's this word. That's this word study. He's saying if you want this approval rating from God, I want you to throw yourself into this task. Do your best. Not half-heartedly. Do your best. Again, we read it this morning, Mark 12, verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. If we're doing that, we're doing this. It's when we don't do that, and we love the Lord our God with most of our heart, with most of our mind, with most of our strength, with most of our soul, it's not what he's asking us to do. When it comes to the word study, when it comes to that word, we need to be like newborn babes that get hungry and they want the bottle, they want their milk. And you know how they are. I mean, when they are little and they want their milk, they're crying, and there's really nothing else you can do with them to get them to stop crying until you say, here's the bottle, right? I mean, they just won't stop until they get fed. That's 1 Peter 2, 2. We need to be like that. We need to desire the Word, crave the Word as much as a newborn babe craves their milk. So we need to give righteous diligence. Number two, we need to have responsible doing. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. You know, John talked about this in his class this morning, and he mentioned a couple verses that I've used today. But this verse, you know, he was talking about being workers. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be workers, not ashamed. You know, when a soldier strips his gun down and he gets it ready for inspection, what's the point of that? To make sure it works, right? I mean, what would happen if you know an inspection's coming and you strip your gun down, you get it all nice and oiled up, you put it all back together, they say, present arms, and you give them your rifle, and it doesn't work. That's what he's saying. It doesn't work. What good is it? What good is it? Let's face it. If you've got a rifle that doesn't work and it's time for battle, you're going to have to get awfully close to the enemy to beat them with it. It's just no good. That's like us. We need to be like that. We need to be workers. So I'm going to park here for just a second. Because here at West Park, we need workers. There are so many people here who are working. So many people here who are working. Now, let me just say this. We are actually building a grid with every one of your names on it. My name's on it. And we're looking at that grid saying, who is doing what? Every one of you are on it if you are a member of this congregation. You know why we're doing that? Because it's so important. The congregation, the church, the body of Christ only does its best, its most efficient when every bodily part is doing its job. And if you're here and you're not doing your job or you're not doing a job, then guess what? This body suffers because of it. We need everybody working. There are so many opportunities here. You know, I love Jonathan Jenkins when he was telling me, he said, Jim, you always need to have more jobs than you have people. That's how you grow. And he's absolutely right. We need more jobs than we have people because that means there's always something to do. If you're here and you're not doing something, we've got people doing 4 and 5 things here. Maybe 6 or 7, Leslie, wherever you are. So we've got people doing lots of things here, but we need everybody working. A workman who needs not be ashamed. If you're not working, I won't comment any further about that. If we try and present ourselves approved unto God, but we don't work, then we should feel ashamed. We call ourselves Christians, and we need to own that. We need to own that and be responsible for that. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, wherefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding and increasing in what? The work of the Lord. So that your labor is not in vain. It's not wasted effort. It's not wasted effort. What we're doing is not wasted effort. Number 3. So we have so far righteous diligence, and that's study. We have responsible doing, that's being workmen, not ashamed of the work that we're doing. And then finally, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is a tent-making term. You know, back in the days when Paul was making tents, this is that word. This is a tent-making term. It just simply means to cut it straight. So when they had all these skins from these animals, you know, you wanted to cut those skins straight. Because when you were sewing the skins together, the last thing in the world you wanted on a tent was to have these little dips in the tent. You know, because that's where the rain just collects right there, and it rots the tent. So you want to cut it straight. That's what he's asking us to do. That's what he's telling us to do. This is a command, right? This is something we're all supposed to do, not just when I feel like it, when I, you know, okay, I'll do it today. No, this is a command. We're supposed to do this. Cut it straight. Rightly divide the word of truth. Could it present a problem if we don't? 2 Peter 3, in verse 15, Peter does something I love Peter doing. He starts talking about Paul. And I love that. I love it when people talk about other people. And so here, Peter is talking about Paul. And in the next verse, in verse 16, I believe, he says, speaking of Paul, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Look, cut it straight. Rightly divide the word of truth. That's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be doing all the time. He says there are people who they read the hard things, the difficult things that Paul has written. And we know there are difficult things that Paul's written. And he's telling them, these people, they read those difficult things and they twist them. They just change them to mean something they were never intended to mean. Not only do they do it with the tough things that are hard to understand, what else does it say? It says they do it with all the rest of them too. The things that are easy to understand, they twist those scriptures as well to their own destruction. We have people doing that today. Across that street, right there, or that street, people are not cutting this word straight. They say, well, I'm a John 3:16 person. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I believe that makes me good in God's eyes. Well, first of all, I always tell them to highlight that word should in there. But regardless, I say, great. So you just be, that's your verse. I tell you what, as long as we're choosing verses, I'm going to choose 1 Peter 3:21. So I'm going to be one of those guys that says, baptism doth also now save us. I don't have to believe. I don't have to repent. I don't have to do anything but just get dunked in water and I'm good. So that's what I'm going to be. But even better, I had to write it down because Luke 6, judge not that you be not judged. Okay? That's that. If I'm just going to choose a verse, that may be a good one, okay? Because I don't do anything except just not judge you. And then I won't be judged. So, look, this book, we need to rightly divide this book. We need to cut it straight. It is a puzzle that has pieces all over the place, and we have to just put it all together, and it makes a really nice picture. But we have to do that. We can't pick and choose. We can't do it. So this evening, let me ask you, how is your workmanship? How is your workmanship? If you were to present yourself, and please understand, there is a day coming when we are all going to have to present ourselves to the Commander-in-Chief. And you know who I'm talking about, and you know who I'm not talking about. There is a day coming when we are going to have to present ourselves to the Commander-in-Chief, to the one who enlisted us. And he's going to look at us and he's going to say, I give you my stamp of approval. Or you're going to get the big reject sign. And that's not going to be a good thing. I've got more to say, but I'm going to stop. I will say this. If you're here tonight and your workmanship is really terrible, do something about it. If you know right now what you have to present to the Lord is not acceptable, then fix it tonight. Fix it. Whatever your need, come forward and let us know, and we will do whatever we can. We will pray for you. We will pray with you. If you need to be added to this conversation,